happy Monday to those of you who are listening to A Voice of a People live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. My name is Linda Sims. I also let you know at this moment that we do stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app on any electronic device. The name of that app is called TuneIn. And once you download it, search for WWGH. Now, if you would like to call in during this time on the air, want to be a part of the conversation, or if you have any questions, or if you would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. Again, that number is 740-383-9944 if you want to be a part of my conversation today. There's something special I want to share with each and every one of you, okay? And it's called, What is Pride? Okay, I'm not going to go there yet, but we only have 46 days left in the year 2022. And I know a lot of people are coming together or getting their plans together for Thanksgiving. Those of you who have been lackadaisical about Thanksgiving, and here it is upon us. It seems to be a week from Thursday. A friend of mine have been doing countdown to Thanksgiving every day, posting things that she is thankful for. And that is very mindful of her and humble. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because it gives me, as she is doing, a responsibility. It makes me feel good to know that there are things that I can be thankful for, that the Lord has shown up and showed out in my life and in the life of those my loved ones, and even my friends and neighbors, because overall, God is good, and He is definitely worthy to be praised. So, even though you didn't start November the 1st, maybe you can take starting today or a week from or Thursday and just do a week of things to be thankful for each and every day. It's not a bad idea. It's never a bad idea to be humble and pay attention to the good things in life. And everything that happens to us is not good or have a good turnout, but still we can be thankful in those things because it could have been worse, you know. And this is what didn't happen, you know. So I have to look at the good and the bad. But again, it's just a suggestion to take time to be thankful. And we do have a lot to be thankful for. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, location 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement goes as follows. Pre-produce every third Saturday of every month. This one will take place this Saturday, November the 20th. I can't believe we're here already. Oh, my. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Now, this is a holiday time, so if you know of someone who really needs free produce, give them this information, okay? If you need it, take advantage of this opportunity. It's free, okay? It's free, and they're willing that many would take advantage of this, you know, because no one wants to throw things in the trash. And I'm not saying that is what happens, because there are other organizations that can use this type of service to help others in need. So if we know people in need, let us not close our mouth, but let us be helpful and help, you know, and just be thankful that you know someone that you could help them to benefit from some of these services that are going on in our city. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. I like to start my show off with a thought for today, and the thought is titled, Power of Determination. Just one second. These are considered good thoughts for a healthy mind. In the midst of uncertainty, keep determination in your thoughts, and that will become like a guiding light in front of you. The impossible becomes possible for those who have the power of determination. Perseverance. You don't give up. You keep pushing and pushing and pushing for things that, you know, you want to make happen in your life. So the power of determination is a thought for today. All right, so let me move on. Now, my subject today is, what is pride? What is pride? And maybe some of you are saying, why are you choosing the subject pride? I choose that subject because that subject can be very detrimental to our lives. It can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. And some may be saying, well, when is it a bad thing? I have pride in myself. I have pride in my family. I have pride in my accomplishments. I just have pride in being who I am. Okay, let's determine or break down what is pride. Pride is a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those with whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that is widely admired. The team was bursting with pride after recording a sensational victory. That means they had pleasure in their victory. They had joy and delight in that victory. Okay. Number two, consciousness of one's own dignity. And we all should have dignity and a certain amount of pride for who we are. Sometimes if you don't have enough pride in yourself, you're depressed. You know, and you feel like you're always run over or people overlook you all the time. So there is a certain amount of pride we should, you know, exhibit in our lives, in our everyday lives. Okay, so the verb, be especially proud of a particular quality or skill. She'd always prided herself on her ability to deal with a crisis. Now this verb of explaining pride leads me to why I chose this subject. And it has a lot to do with the pandemic, the COVID-19, and why a lot of Christians didn't take this serious. I think it was a form of pride. Because, you know, Christians feel like, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, I can condemn it. And those things are true. Those things are true. They didn't want to accept the fact that this pandemic was real. That it was, they heard people were dying from it, but did they believe it? I don't know, not unless it really comes into your home. So when they did establish a vaccine, then those Christians rose up against the vaccine. Now, I think a lot of this happened from the head up on down and saying, okay, this is not real. It's just a flu. You know, it's nothing any different than what we have had around and things like that. And just really looked at it the wrong way, as if it was not real, or that don't even be worried about this. It's going to disappear like a miracle. It's going to be gone overnight. Okay, now that was in early 2020, and here we are going into 2022. COVID is still around, and Christians are still getting it. People are still dying from it. So what makes Christians think that they were more powerful than God where this pandemic was concerned? And I've heard some people say that, you know, well, God is a healer. And yes, he is. And yes, he can. And yes, he still does. Well, and you go back to no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Well, I don't even consider that a weapon. Pandemics have happened over the years. It may be new to some of us who are alive today that were not around in, what was that, 1918 or 100 years ago, when that pandemic was around and everybody was wearing masks, and then they were searching for a vaccine, and I think they came up with one. But people were saying, well, they came up with the vaccine too fast. Well, they've been working on vaccines and trying to create medicine to help keep people more safe from this pandemic. But I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take that. I don't know what's in that. You know, the government's not going to rule me and tell me what I have to do and what I don't have to do. You know what? Opportunity comes our way every day. Chance and opportunity. Okay, so I'm not trying to convince anybody to take it. I'm not trying to convince anybody not to take it. It is your own personal choice in life, just like everything that comes up to our face or certain challenges that we go through. You know, there are just some things that we have no control over. We're just people. We're not gods. You know, and no matter, and this had really nothing to do with our faith. At least that was my perception of the whole entire thing. It had nothing to do with my faith. God has healed me from lung cancer, one cell lung cancer, which is one of the deadliest cancers that you could have. And that was back in 2001. I know he's a healer. You know, they only gave me like 2 years at the most to live if I took chemotherapy or if I didn't take chemotherapy. Okay, but then you find people still getting cancer today. What do they do? What is in radiation? What is that? What is in chemotherapy? Do we know what's in it? But when you feel like your life is on the line, people will, they'll take that radiation, they'll take that chemotherapy, and they don't even think twice about it because they want to live. So what's so different about the pandemic? I don't know. I don't know. But I came down. I came to this reality that pride had a lot to do with it. And I came up with this because of our pastor spoke on this yesterday. Because he did not see God in the pandemic. God says we do well when we see him in everything. There's nothing that goes on in the earth, outside the earth, in this realm of stars and planets and under the earth. Nothing goes on he's not aware of. Nor is he surprised by what happens. Why couldn't certain people see God in the pandemic. And when I looked up this verb of pride, it says, be especially proud of a particular quality or skill. Now, I think the skill was being a Christian. Okay, and the quality of being a Christian, we are supposed to have power. Right? From the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to have a certain amount of power that we can pray off offenses, that we can pray off certain illnesses by laying our hands on ourselves, laying our hands on our children. And even in the church, you know, when it's people are up at the altar, they come up and you can pray for them, or they can just come up there and stand and the Lord will heal them. Because at that moment, they have surrendered everything that's going on in their body to Him and in their mind to Him, you know. So, yes, Christians do have a certain amount of power through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when I saw that, I said, well, okay, so this makes more sense to me, because they felt like they had power over this pandemic, whether they get it or whether they don't get it. Now, I know. Let's see what the real meaning of pride is. The quality or state of being proud, such as a inordinate self-esteem, conceit, a reasonable or justifiable self-respect, delight or elation arising from some act, possession or relationship, parental pride. See how inordinate self-respect. I'll look that word up in a minute. Inordinate, okay? Conceit. You know, you run into people and they're all about themselves and always building up their self-esteem and beating themselves on their own chest, you know. And you say, wow, they're conceited. They're always in the mirror and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, nothing can come against me and overtake me or overpower me or defeat me or my faith. Or my faith. I have faith. Well, I had faith. I still have faith, and they still have faith. I just didn't believe that the pandemic had anything to do with our faith. It was just something that happened that we had to go through. We couldn't make it go away. It's still around, right? Okay, inordinate self-esteem, conceit, a reasonable or justifiable self-respect. Those are some really powerful words. So let's see what inordinate means when it comes to pride and self-respect. Unusually or disproportionately large, excessive. A case that had taken up an inordinate amount of time. That means over and beyond what it should have taken up. So the self-respect has gotten all out of proportion. It's so large, they can't see anything but themselves and what they believe and their tenacity to overcome whatever happens in this world. You know, it's just excessive. It's just over the top. Pride is over the top. And what is that? Does that mean that if I say that I'm powerless over this, my family is powerless over this, and I'm going to do what has come available, I'm going to take advantage of this to protect my family the best I can, is not a perfect solution? Right? And it hasn't been a perfect solution. So, if we get, they don't even think they're going to get it. They just said, well, you know, I got this power over this pandemic because of my belief and because of my faith. I have power over this, and it's not going to come my way. My children are not going to get it. My grandchildren are not going to get it. all those things go with being a Christian. It does. It really does. And you can't say that we have to just lay down and accept anything that comes our way, because we should not. We should not. But this pandemic was something different. And I have given this example before, and it made me think of Moses and the children of Israel, you know, when they were on their way to the promised land, and he had already, you know, they were on their way from the Pharaoh. God had already defeated the Pharaoh with all those 10 plagues that he sent that way and just really destroyed Egypt at that time, and eventually Pharaoh and his army. So they were on their way to the promised land, and the Israelites were complainers. They were never satisfied, you know. They still always talked about going back to Egypt, where they said they had it so good, but they were slaves back there, you know. They weren't giving God a chance. They weren't giving Moses a chance, you know, and God would pacify them and send them this and send them that, and they still, they take advantage of that, and, you know, sometimes, we got manna every day. For 40 years, God fed them with manna every day, and then they said, well, we're tired of this manna. Can't our God give us meat? So God sent quails, and they had so much quails. I mean, they were vomiting up quails. So, and that's kind of how I looked at it, like something that God wanted us to look up to him and not man. But it didn't exactly turn out that way, because sometimes I think, and I can't be the only one that thinks this, that man thinks he's greater than God in certain circumstances, certain situations. He has the answer, you know. So that means I'm not going to fold to this pandemic. I'm just not going to give up. I know I have faith. I know that I will not get this virus, COVID-19. But, lo and behold, God said if the people would look up at the serpent on that pole, that they would not die, because they were looking up to God. They didn't even realize it, you know. But those that did not, they were bit by that serpent, and they were killed. Have we gotten so big and so prideful that we don't need to look up to God? Have we fallen into that category as Christians? And we think that we can go through this walk by ourselves? And that we really don't need God? Or what God can provide for us? And I had told people, well, it's in the scripture that God has given men wisdom to create medicine for illnesses and sicknesses and for disease. And they can't even cure the common cold, but they can give you medicine to help ease the effects of it. You know, how long has a common cold been around? But there's no cure. Well, it's just a virus. You just have to wait it out. Okay. They don't even give you antibiotics for a virus. And you can get some heck of some colds. I know I've had some doozies over the years. Seemed like every January, February, March, I would be so sick. And I mean bedridden almost. And all I could do was drink water and take medicine, trying to get better. Wrapping up my neck, putting Vicks Salve on my chest, in my nostrils, you know, just miserable. There's not even a cure for that. But does that stop me from buying cough drops? No. Does that stop me from going to the store and getting cough syrup? No. What about Benadryl? It's for allergies and things like that. It does not stop us from trying to get relief. What about a headache? Same thing. Same scenario. Some people have migraine headaches, and God forbid, I feel for those people. They are in agonizing pain. Some of them can't even lift their head up off the bed. Oh, they try to get anything they can to stop that pain. I couldn't even imagine. I hope I never have to. Imagine having a migraine headache and there's no relief. And I've heard people say it's like someone beating my head with a hammer and won't stop. There are some things in our life, but does that stop them from trying to get pain pills and taking pain pills for it? What are we so sure about when it comes to being sick and what we're taking for it? And what's all in it? What about the food we eat? What's in that? All those additives and preservatives that they have impacted in food. Like even in your restaurant now, you know, these things are already pre-packaged, pre-seasoned with salt and sugar and anything else that they can put in it. But it doesn't stop us from going out to eat. It doesn't stop us from ordering in to our homes and for parties and having our events catered. It doesn't stop that, does it? Nor can we stop this pandemic. I don't know. I just kind of thought that, you know, when I heard the pastor talk about this and about being humble and having humility, you know, and just coming to the reality, I'm powerless over this. Where did I go wrong? Is my faith not strong? How did this happen to me? How did I get COVID-19? Wow. I have to bring up. Did I look up inordinate? Let me see. Did I do that? Oh, yes, I did do that, didn't I? Inordinate affection or self-respect. Over the top. Okay. Conceit. Let's look up that. Let's see what that says. Excessive pride in oneself. Here we go. That's conceit. Excessive pride in oneself. I didn't know narcissism was considered as a form of conceit. Did you know that? Oh my. Similar, it says. Vanity, narcissism, self-love, self-admiration, self-regard, egotism, pride, arrogance. Self-satisfactory. So our faith, or some people's faith as Christians, has been self satisfaction. So that means that we've gone beyond looking at God. Now it's just in me. I'm self-sufficient in my own faith. I can do this now on my own. I really don't need to go to church. I really don't need to hear the word of God. I really don't need to call on God for anything. I got this down pat now. I've gone to church. I've been a Christian all these years. And hey, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I shall condemn. Because God has given me this power to do this. And this is what I'm going to do. That did not happen for a lot of Christians who had all that tenacity, all that faith, and all that, this is not going to happen to me, because I'm far and above what I need to be, or think that I am. I just saw that this was just really something powerful that I needed to share with my listeners. Pride, and it's not just in a pandemic. Pride can be over the top and excessive in any subject or any area of our life. And this is about, you know, looking at ourselves. Just like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something we should be humble. humble about the many blessings and benefits that God has bestowed upon us people, creatures, because He is a creator, so we are the creatures that He has blessed us with. Undeserved favor. Do we deserve any of that? No. No. No, we did not. But He loved us so much. It was only His love that has covered us as people. Whether you're saved or unsaved, God died for the sins of the whole world. He took away everybody's sin. Whether you believe it or not. That's humility. Modesty, humility is the opposite of being conceited and the self-importance and the self-satisfaction and being smug about things that are going on in the earth. Now, we're on our way to 2022. We don't know what is to come. COVID is still around. And I hear scientists say, well, there's something else coming worse than this. So, my, what are we going to do? But don't lose, I'm not saying lose your faith, but understand there's only one God. And we ain't Him. We're just not Him. So humility must take a place. Not just in one area, but we ought to look at humility in a lot of areas. A modest or low view of one's own importance. Humbleness. Example, he needs the humility to accept that their way may be better. That's not necessarily true. Humility is the quality of being humble. Before I finish that, let me go to Isaiah 14. Because this is what brought the devil down, Satan. Okay? This is what brought him down. Pride. And this is Isaiah 14, starting at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Pride, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is the Lord talking. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings, all the nations, even all of them lie in glory, even one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. But I don't want to read all that, because some of that is kind of, you would maybe consider gory. But you know, when you're coming up against a creator, which Satan did, and it was I believe this, I know this, I have that much faith, I. But it was his downfall, because he did go up against the Most High. He thought that he could overthrow God's kingdom. He thought so. He was so jealous of God's ability to be worshipped. He said, I will. He said this in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So, is that where we are as Christians? We're like the Most High? Whew. Maybe that's biting off a little more than we can chew. So what is Isaiah 14 all about? When God lets Israel rest from its tribulations, they will be able to taunt Babylon. They will be able to chide Babylon or getting destroyed when it had previously oppressed them. God will turn the tables on Babylon, fiercely persecuting them. The whole world will be at peace and sing now that Babylon has fallen. How do you fall from heaven? Pride. How do you get lost? Pride. Because there's someone higher than you. You are not the highest. You are not the ultimate authority. No matter how much you may believe that. As being a Christian. God is still above us. He is still over us. He's majestic. He is our majesty. You know? So we ought to be humble. And acknowledge that. Humility. Humility. Let us learn to be humble. And not so prideful. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And that's in Proverbs 11 and 2. The state of being humble. So we don't want to be disgraced. Now, I think a lot of Christians were disgraced because they just really had that high pride. I'm telling you, I've seen pride before. I've seen people that are conceited and they think that they were above and beyond some of the things that may trip up other people. We're not perfect. We are not self-sustaining. You know, if God had not called my name this morning, I would not be here on the air today. If he had not called your name today and said, rise, you wouldn't be around listening. So who do you really think you are? Oh, I'm a good person, you know. We're nothing without God. In John chapter 14 or 15, except you abide in me and I in you, without me, God says, you can do nothing. So is that what pride does? It gets us out of the will of God. It separates us from God. And we're not even realizing that our ego, our pride has lifted far above the Most High. That is a dangerous place to be. Humility is the ability to be without pride or arrogance, and it is a principal character that should be seen in those who follow Christ. Jesus is the best example of someone who humbly followed God's plan for his life. Now, that is telling us, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ Jesus, in the finished works of the cross, him dying for my sins. Okay? It should be a principal character that should be seen in those who follow Jesus Christ. And Christ is the best example. And how is that? He gave up his life. He died on the cross. He was humiliated. He was embarrassed. He was ridiculed. He was abused. Can you imagine people just snatching hair out of his beard, pulling a crown of many thorns on his head, beating it down, beating him with a cat of nine tails, which had like little pieces of knives in it, and when they would hit him across his back and snatch it back up, pieces of his skin would come off. He was bloody. He allowed himself to suffer and go through all those things. He didn't have to do that. He wasn't beating on his chest and saying, "Oh, I'll let them all die. You know, they won't listen to me like the children of Israel. You know, they won't listen to me. So why am I going to continue to trying to save them and show them what I can really do for their lives, how I can turn their lives around, how they can benefit from being my children and considering themselves to be my children. After all, there's no good thing that Christ will withhold from any of us. But our pride gets in the way. You know, and I have to look at myself. I'm not just saying this for you to look at you, but in a way I am. But I'm also looking at myself. Humble yourself, Linda. Because, you know, I was like, okay, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection of the dead." And I was just praying over people, laying hands on people. Well, rise. God says, rise, get up. I had to be careful. That is not me. And if they happened to get up, it was him. I had to have faith in him and what he could do because I said what he said. Nothing that I can say, nothing that I can do, nowhere I can go is more powerful, more beneficial to me or others than what Christ can do through me. Through me, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through me. It's not me. It's through me. Just like, you know, they said God the Father was through Christ. He was in Christ. He said, "Me and my Father are one. You can't separate us." And people try to do it all the time. But they're one. And God was working through Christ. Just like he works through me. I'm not him. Even though he and the Father is one. I can't compare myself to that. You know. But I don't know how you feel about being prideful or egotisticism or even narcissism. Woo! I never even considered that. That they were just so prideful people. And they can't get along with anybody. Oh! And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people like that. They can't get along with anybody. Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Biblical humility means believing what God says about you over anyone else's opinion, including your own. It requires embracing who you are in Christ over who you are in the flesh. To be biblically humble is to be so free of concern for your own ego that you unreservedly elevate those around you. Think of that. Elevating people around you. And not so much you being this great, great Christian. But yes, do be a Christian. Do be a follower of Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. We can't keep our eyes on man. Believing what God says about you over anyone else's opinion, including your own. So we have to be careful what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're saying it, why we're saying it, our intentions, you know, our thoughts, our opinions. It does not trump God's opinions or what he can do or what he can, by his word and his acts and even his humility towards us. Nothing we can do or say will trump that or be far beyond what he can do or who he is. He sits on the circle of the earth. I mean, really, he created everything. Everything that we see or heard of in the past or will be in the future, everything has nothing to do with us. But he said, you know, he did it for his own pleasure. Everything was created for him and for his pleasure. So can you imagine watching God's movie, which we are players, we're actors, participants in God's movie, and he's just up there watching us, listening to us, thinking that we're these great, powerful people down here and in the flesh. We're not dependent on Christ. We're in the flesh. And that's where that pride comes from. It's fleshly. Putting all this trust in your flesh. What you can do in your power. Wow. Well, I hope I've said something to help, if not help, consider. Look at your own lives and those around you. This is the end of my show. I'm on my last few seconds. I'm inviting you to come back tomorrow. I won't be alone. I'll have a guest tomorrow. Also, tomorrow at 5:15, I'll be having my second show till 6 p.m. And it's the singles. Kemba Hubbard and Tim Jones will be here. That'll be my guest. Singles Choosing God's Best. And, you know, till next time, be blessed. It's been chilly here in Ohio for the past few days, and I think it will be till Wednesday. I enjoyed the snow over the weekend. Had a beautiful baby shower for Zephaniah and Ashley. It was really nice. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The 107-year-old viral video sensation Virginia McLaurin on meeting President and Mrs. Barack Obama. You say-